Welcome to the special edition of the Red Compass Labs After Hours podcast, recorded live at EBA Day 2022 in Vienna. As we recorded this in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the event, you will hear some background noise, which hopefully imparts some of the exciting vibe of the first in-person payments event for Europe since 2019. Enjoy.
Hi Nick, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's lovely to have you. You're Director of Business Development at RTGS Global, and for those who don't know, RTGS Global, they provide a solution for bilateral atomic settlement to banks. Atomic settlement, that sounds interesting. Maybe we can talk more about that later, but let's start with, as mentioned on RTGS Global's website, 60% of FX payments, equating to 9 trillion a day, that sounds like quite a big number, is exposed to settlement risk. So 9 trillion, really significant. Tell us more about how RTGS Global disrupts this and changes the
game. I mean, first of all, so that 60% is what we call non-payment versus payment. So today, payment versus payment reduces settlement risk. So you exchange liquidity effectively at the same time.
Directly. It's like me handing you a note.
Here and now.
Right here and now.
So with the 60%, the 9 trillion, which again is an enormous figure, I could send you sterling and I could be waiting for dollars for you, but I've got no guarantee that's going to get minutes, hours, days. And then you go into liquidity, credit lines, collaterals, it pledged against it. So there's lots of variety. So what we've done, we're an FMI, we're a financial market infrastructure. Effectively, we offer instantaneous cross-border settlement in real time. So where liquidity will be exchanged instantaneously between two jurisdictions. And it's backed by central bank funds.
So I can think of you as a financial market infrastructure, like we normally think of a central bank, but you guys aren't one of those here.
No.
You're kind of in the middle, offering a bridge between different jurisdictions.
Absolutely. So people could call it a settlement rail, but we do settlements and payments. So our solution, it's almost like one little bubble. So today, you know, settlement instruction, payment instruction is kind of a separate thing with lots of intermediaries in the middle. Our solution does both.
Is it like a closed network, or how do you connect to central banks?
Yes, so we are discussing with central banks about becoming, having that, building that relationship and becoming part of their infrastructure. So we would be bolted into them, and the members would join our network. And then the network grows, and you can transact with each other. So you're allowed to find partner banks within our network, and you may have a relationship with a partner bank already, which most financial institutions do. But also we offer KYC, AML capabilities that will assist that process. So should you want to reach out to a bank you've not dealt with before, we believe we can do that a lot quicker and more securely.
Makes a lot of sense. So we see a lot of focus globally on fulfilling the objectives of the G20 Saudi presidency and delivering the CPMI roadmap. However, we also see lots of different approaches in execution. And obviously yours is one of those. But examples, wholesale CBDC implementation is the next big thing. Introduction of commercial bank synthetic money, JPM coin, or settlement on blockchain like Partia we're seeing in Singapore. This might be a bit of a loaded question, but which contestants are more likely to stand the test of time?
So I personally feel that I think CBDCs, they will happen. We're talking about wholesale. Because the retail side, there's so many questions about security, privacy.
But I think access.
But wholesale CBDCs, I absolutely think will happen. I think the take up, whether it be a pilot, in flight, in research mode, I think absolutely CBDCs will be there, I would say within the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
I think some people think they're going to happen overnight. I don't think so. They will happen, absolutely.
It's another big transition, and I guess you're going to see fragmentation as well with, like, bits on the digital chain and bits in the traditional fiat chain and so on, and managing liquidity between those two, they're going to have to be some clever solutions as well.
Yeah, agreed. And I think our solution, we use fiat currency. But we use a term, we're built for now, designed for what's next.
Right.
So our initial model, we will settle in fiat currency, so sterling to dollars, for example. But it's the technology enable us. We are ready for, if a CBDC is a thing regulated, we can support that. If stablecoins become regulated, we can support that. So our core model is fiat to fiat, but we are built for what. So with the technology enabling us today, we've got many options.
And again, the beauty of what you're doing is really, the domestic systems or platforms run independently. You're just making that bridge again between them.
Absolutely. If
you look at solving a problem.
So you look at faster payments in the UK, very successfully, 24/7, 365. That's what we're going to be, 24/7, because people want access to cash. If a bank can settle at the weekend, It would be revolutionary. So I think it's very exciting.
And I think like there was a point made earlier on a panel which was like, you know, very spot on in terms of what you say we prepare for tomorrow as well. Like I think tomorrow what we see is like fragmentation of money, as I think it was Sarah Castellano from JP Morgan mentioning it earlier, correct. Which is like depending on the context you're in, where you want to transact, what value you want to extend, you use different type of currency, so we need to prepare for the future as well, right?
Yeah. And I think the pace is phenomenal. I mean, payments is a buzzword. Yeah. It's great to be involved in this industry because payments, people go, and I love your tagline, there's only two types of payments, good or bad. And I don't think people think about it that way. So that's a really, you know, I love that sort of foresight.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
So maybe we get a little bit more technical. You usually settlement of payments based on specific conditions, in other words, like smart contracts, typically happen on blockchain technologies. You know, it's a natural enabler, but you know, obviously that's not the case for RTGS Global. Can you tell us more about how you achieve that settlement, atomic settlement, from a technology perspective?
Yeah, of course. So we're built on the Microsoft Azure cloud, and we use the SQL database ledger. So we built the product in collaboration with Microsoft over 3 years, and what the ledger allows you to do is that it's immutable, and it acts very much like a blockchain. But we believe that opening a blockchain in multiple jurisdictions, we don't think it's quick enough for what we're trying to achieve. Hence why this Microsoft ledger is quick, and the individual nodes in multiple jurisdictions, we believe they'll act a lot quicker, and again, more securely than a traditional blockchain.
And it's a proven technology that's secure, it's stable, it's trusted.
Yeah, and
it has a track record.
Agreed, and last week Microsoft announced that they're going live almost like globally with this solution, and we're very proud to be an early adopter of the product.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's completely distributed as well, being a cloud-based solution.
And I think the immutability side of things is key, because settlement finality, are those sterling mine? Are those dollars mine? Do I legally own them? That's part of our legal and regulatory framework.
And of course, that's really important. I think, you know, one of the challenges we still see that's not completely solved is finality on CBDCs. You know, if you're using blockchains, like when is final? When does finality get achieved? Right. That's always
And again, like I said, that is built into our legal and regulatory framework. And that is crucial. Yeah, the finality is, do I own those funds legally? And i.e. they won't be clawed back in 4 weeks' time like in certain jurisdictions.
Right. Oh yes, we found a problem with that transaction.
Yeah, exactly.
I think also like for me, I see a real asset in using Microsoft as a technology as opposed to blockchain, because at the end of the day, you need to be able to get a backup from a sponsor in any payment modernization project. And like Microsoft is a technology that has been known, it's a name that is known and so on. It's very difficult, I think, to do convincing to your board, use blockchain. Okay, what is a blockchain? Like, you know, can you explain me exactly? And put the right term on the right name. Whereas, like, you know, I think Microsoft is coming with a good name, good reputation and so on, right? We should simplify adoption and ultimately reach and then size of the network as well, right?
And to be fair, probably with their intentions in the financial space, they'll do everything to make sure you succeed.
Agreed.
I think that's a great driver.
And the scale it can support is, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of transactions in potentially milliseconds.
Yeah.
You know, we've done some testing between currency corridors, and it can settle in milliseconds. Which is, you know, it's crazy to think about.
And how do you see interoperability, basically, because, what we see today is a lot of closed loop and not really much communicating together. So on one end you can say, okay, we work with all the settlement bank or partner banks to make sure we cover all the network.
Yeah.
But for having people to switch to such network, it will take time. So how can we help people support several network and make sure that when they're waiting time they switch to our network? Are you thinking of interoperability existing network as well?
Yeah, I think with APIs and the way they work, is the opportunities are almost endless. And how quick you can connect into other banks or providers or software operators. You know, again, I'm not from a technology background, but I've learned a lot about APIs in the last 6-7 months, that it's so quick and you can integrate very, very quickly now. And I think that's your question. How long would an integration take?
Yeah.
And do you know what? It's quick. It's not 6, 12 months, 18 months. We could integrate, we believe, 3 to 4 months fully.
That's incredible, considering the pace. Yeah, normal changes of this nature, right?
Yeah.
And in this industry.
And you took the words out of my mouth. So maybe one last question.
Sure.
What do you think the toughest challenge ahead is when it comes to achieving the G20 objectives?
For me personally, I think it's going to be the time of going live, as it were, and also the priorities of banking institutions. That you've got the ISO 20082 initiatives, you've got regulatory work, you've got legacy infrastructure you're looking at. Do I make them better? Do I move to a cloud-based solution? There's so much going on with different banks. And I think we've got to remember that every bank and every financial institution, they've got their own priorities.
Yeah,
you can't go in with a one-size-fits-all. You have to really understand, going back to Sarah in the last session about use cases,
yeah,
understand what clients potentially may need, and we can have discussions and help you along that path with proof of concepts, trialing, testing. And we're doing that with several banks at the moment, and it's going to be fascinating to, you know, prove it out and go, do you know what, you can transact instantaneously across borders.
Yeah,
I think, like, for me, I do agree it's time, but it's also, to your point, like, you know, changing the mindset. How, like, you know, we help people to transition towards what is the future. And, like, I think she made this point as well during the panel, right? The toughest thing, or perhaps it was a challenge or something, the toughest thing is really much helping people, like, you know, to understand, take non-emotional decision and, like, look at the future, like, and be willing to embrace the change. I think when it comes to payments modernization,
I agree, because you could accept how things work today, because that's what people get accustomed to. But, you know, why not leverage the technology available?
Yeah,
it's there. Let's use it and let's move forward. And let's move to a more real-time model across currencies.
Build the future of payments together. That's what it's there for.
There you go.
Otherwise, yeah, we'll all be living in caves too.
That's it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, Nick.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
At Red Compass Labs, we exist to help open the doors of finance to all and to protect those who enter. I hope today's discussion sheds some light for you on the fascinating future of payments that is unfolding all around us. We really appreciate the support of our audience, so if you've enjoyed this discussion, please show your support by giving us a thumbs up, hitting subscribe, and clicking on the bell to get notified when new content arrives in future. Also, don't be shy about giving us feedback. We really appreciate your comments and suggestions for topics and guests. That's all for this time. Catch you on the flip side.